Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Sunday morning here at Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians has its spiritual home. We are a community created by all those who walk through our doors, and all are welcome to join us. Be you male, female, old, young, somewhere in between, whatever your skin colour or ethnicity or country of origin or part of London that you live in, be you gay or straight or any of the many other ways we humans describe ourselves and one another, whoever you are, however you are, particularly however damp you are feeling this morning, you are welcome here in this community, a community that encourages you to be yourself, a community that accepts you as you are. And if you're a visitor here today, we extend a special welcome to you and would let you know that you're welcome to join us after the service for tea or coffee. Let them in, Niall. There's room for more. Move on down inside the bus. Today, in London, there is a lot going on. A major bike ride is disrupting travel plans, especially for people trying to get here from south of the river. Heavy rain has arrived as the remains of Hurricane Bertha arrives to drop upon us from across the Atlantic. But we're here now, gathering together, greeting a new day. So let's take a bit of time now to focus ourselves on the here and now, allowing ourselves an opportunity to be here now. Perhaps some of the issues that so often churn around inside our minds, perhaps we can imagine them being left outside this room, placed to one side perhaps, and then we can create for ourselves a clear space in which new insights may emerge. Vernon Marshall writes that our lives begin again today. As the world around us constantly renews itself, so we can gather in this place of the Spirit to renew our spiritual lives. Here may we find ways to enliven our faith, faith in the divine spark incarnated within all we know as life. Here may we find ways to rekindle our sense of hope, hope in the betterment of our world. Here may we find ways to reinvigorate our capacity for love, the love that animates the soul and makes life worthwhile. May we this day aspire to welcome faith, hope, and love into our lives. And I light our chalice this day in recognition of the divine spark that shines within us all and within all beings. Our liberal Unitarian faith reminds us of the worth and dignity of each and every one of us. May this sense of equality be there for us, particularly when we encounter those who are different from us. Together we create a symphony. Do join me now in a time of prayer and reflection. In which I call, as always, on the divine spirit of life and of love to be with us now, truly to be with us now, and to bless all that we do and say together here today. For many people, both within this community and in the wider world, this has not been an easy few weeks. Let us think then in loving sympathy of all those we know of for whom life is a struggle. And let's think of our own struggles and challenges with kindness and try to understand any of the inevitable times when we have been less than we would want to be in the week that has passed. In In order to survive, we humans build walls and create boundaries, both in our own lives and in the lives of our communities. Such boundaries help us to feel protected, yet they also separate us from others. They create divisions. May all such walls be temporary and movable, with gaps for us to look through, openings that allow us to perceive realities other than our own. And when we think we know the truth, may we remember that it is only our truth, truth from our perspective. May we be ever aware that there is more to this existence than we can ever know, and be therefore more curious and gentle travellers on the path of life. And in this time, we might think particularly of the Yazidi community displaced in northern Iraq, the people of Syria, the Ukraine, Libya, people under siege in Gaza, the people of Western Africa facing the fear as the Ebola virus spreads. We are pained by the world's sufferings. May we each find ways to witness all this in loving compassion, to do what we can to ease suffering, and finding ways to offer up all that seems irresolvable to a higher power of our understanding, the God of our hearts, a greater power than any human agency. And despite everything, may this day be made a little brighter and lighter because we exist. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen. A few words now by the spiritual teacher Krishnamurti, who writes about a journey together. And he's suggesting that we consider life as a journey. This journey I am proposing that we take together. It's not to the moon or even to the stars. The distance to the stars is much less than the distance within ourselves. The discovery of ourselves is endless, and it requires constant inquiry. A perception which is total, an awareness in which there is no choice. This journey is really an opening of the door to the individual in relationship with the world. So the understanding of ourselves is not to the end of individual salvation. It's not the means of attaining a private heaven or an ivory tower in which to retire with our own illusions, our own beliefs, our own gods. On the contrary, if we are able to understand ourselves, there is a possibility of some peace. And then we shall know how to live rightly, both with ourselves and with others. Words from Krishnamurti.
This reading is adapted from a book by Elizabeth Lesser called Broken Open, How Difficult Times Can Help Us Grow. Now, to appreciate this fully, you may need to have the American slang word of bozo translated. A bozo is a foolish or seriously flawed human being. You might have heard of Bozo the Clown. You're about to meet him. Elizabeth Lesser uses the words of a so-called clown activist with the name of Wavy Gravy as inspiration for her own writing. Wavy Gravy was on the magic bus in the 60s with Ken Kesey, who you might recall wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So here we go. Words of Wavy Gravy. We're all bozos on the bus, so we might as well sit back and enjoy the ride. So one of my heroes, she writes, is the clown activist Wavy Gravy. My all-time favourite wavyism is the line above about bozos on the bus, one he repeats whenever he speaks to groups, whether at a clown workshop or in a children's hospital. I have co-opted the phrase and I use it to begin my workshops because I believe that we are all bozos on the bus, contrary to the self-assured image we work so hard to present to each other on a daily basis. We are all half-baked experiments, mistake-prone beings, born without an instruction book into a complex world. None of us are models of perfect behaviour. We've all betrayed and been betrayed. We've been known to be egotistical, unreliable, lethargic, and stingy. It's my average weekend. And each one of us has, at times, awakened in the middle of the night, worrying about everything from money to kids to terrorism to wrinkled skin and receding hairlines. In other words, we're all bozos on the bus. This, in my opinion, is cause for celebration. If we're all bozos, then for God's sake, we can put down the burden of pretense and get on with being bozos. We can approach the problems that visit bozo-type beings without the usual embarrassment and resistance. It's so much more effective to work on our rough edges with a light and forgiving heart. Imagine how freeing it would be to take a more compassionate and comedic view of the human condition, not as a way to deny our defects, but as a way of welcoming them as part of the standard human operating system. Every single person on this bus called Earth hurts. It's when we have shame about our failings that hurt turns into suffering. In our shame, we feel an outcast, as if there's another bus somewhere, rolling along on a smooth road. Its passengers are all thin, healthy, happy, well-dressed and well-liked people who belong to harmonious families, hold jobs that never bore or aggravate them, and never do mean things or goofy things like forget where they parked the car, lose their wallet, or say something totally inappropriate. We long to be on that bus with other normal people. But we are on the bus that says "Bozo!" on the front, and we worry that we may be the only passenger on board. This is the illusion that so many of us labour under, that we're all alone in our weirdness and our uncertainty, and that we may be the most lost person on the highway. Of course, we don't always feel like this. Sometimes a wave of self-forgiveness washes over us, and suddenly we're connected to our fellow humans. Suddenly, we belong. It's wonderful to take your place on the bus with the other bozos. It may be the first step to enlightenment, to understand with all of your brain cells that the other bus, that sleek bus with the cool people who know where they're going, is also filled with bozos. Bozos in drag. Some knowing laughter there. Bozos with a secret. When we see clearly that every single human being, regardless of fame or fortune or age or brains or beauty, shares the same ordinary foibles, a strange thing happens. We begin to cheer up, to loosen up, and we become as buoyant as those people we imagined on the other bus. As we rumble along the potholed road, lost as ever, through the valleys and over the hills, we find ourselves among friends. We sit back and enjoy the ride.
On this day when I'm now aware that transport has been quite disrupted in London, it's slightly unfortunate timing, but nonetheless, here in London in 2014, we are celebrating the Year of the Bus. London Transport and the London Transport Museum are holding lots of activities throughout the year. Their websites give details of what's happening. They explain the celebration, and I quote, of the vital role the bus plays in providing people with access to employment, education, services, and social opportunities in London, end of quote. We are incredibly fortunate in London to have such a usually efficient public transport system. And as a lover of bus travel, I'm inevitably going to be waxing lyrically about the pleasures of bus transportation in this address. But I know that some days it doesn't work, and that it doesn't work in some parts of the world, or even the British Isles. There are some places that have far less fortunate bus experiences than ours. I mean, you may know the joke about the joke that asks, well, what is the definition of a bus? And the reply is that a bus is a vehicle that moves twice as fast when you are running to catch it as when you are on it, wanting to get somewhere. This idea of life as a journey is one that's found in lots of spiritual teachings, isn't it? It's an image we utilise often here at Essex Church. And it forms an interesting contrast between different attitudes towards journeying. Because a traditional human journey has a start point and it has a place that we aim to arrive at. And we generally like, don't we, to travel from A to B in as efficient and as speedy a way as possible. But once we start to explore this metaphor of life as a spiritual journey, well, then new ways of being emerge. We may start to get a sense that we're not actually quite as in charge of the route as we had hoped we were. Oh, if only life were as simple as choosing where we want to go and then finding the ideal means of transport that could get us there. But real life? Real life is full of hurricane Berthas and other unexpected occurrences, incidents and diversions, changes of direction, new routes hopefully appearing as old routes are closed down for us. I wonder how many of these kinds of changes you've experienced in your own journey of life. We may begin to understand that forever setting our sights on the intended destination means that we may be missing out on the journey itself. A spiritual approach encourages us instead to concentrate on the here and now, on our own felt sense of what's going on in our bodies, in our emotional states and in our minds. A spiritual approach to life as a journey knows just how very distracted we humans can be by the past or by the future, and it helps us return to this moment as the only moment that there is. This spiritual teaching reminds us that one of the essential issues we need to come to terms with in life is our awareness of ourselves as separate entities, and then the reality that we are, of course, always in some way connected with others, even when our strongest sense at that moment may be of disconnection. That lovely line from the reading from Krishnamurti earlier on, this journey is really an opening of the door to the individual in relationship with the world. That's what life's about. On a real life bus journey, if we keep our senses alert, well, we soon get the message that all life is here, don't we? There are the nice people and the nasty people. There's good behaviour, there's bad behaviour. And there's all the complex ways that we humans learn to manage social interaction in a confined space. There are rules and regulations, many of them clearly written on the bus itself, while others are more subtly conveyed. As a child in Sheffield, I was always intrigued by the sign on all Sheffield buses at that time that said, "No spitting, penalty £5. I was mentioning this to a friend yesterday, and she described how in her childhood she'd read that as "no spitting, penalty." And then she spent a long time trying to find out what penalty was and how you did spit it out in the first place. In my childhood, and possibly in some of your childhoods, you were still allowed to smoke upstairs. And on a wet winter's day, that smoke would hang like a fog in the air upstairs on a bus and give the upper deck a feeling of deep excitement and intrigue and general naughtiness. It was a place I always wanted to go. I've spent some time this week reading sociological papers about the ways in which we manage psychological space on bus journeys. One of these papers gave a list of ways that we humans try to get more space for ourselves on a bus. And alas, in my time, I have done practically all of these. I wonder about you. I have put my bag on a spare seat. I have stared out of the window. I've been engrossed in my phone or book. I've even kept my eyes closed and pretended to be asleep. one of these papers was particularly funny because they'd worked out that people generally try and get an extra space next to them, to themselves. That is normal human behaviour. Until the bus driver announces that the bus is full and that we're all going to have to move up. And at that point, people become very keen to have the most ordinary looking person come and sit next to them so they don't get somebody really difficult. And yet, you know, with all these tricks that we play to get more space for ourselves, at other times, I guess most of us know that delight of engaging with the person next to us, being helpful to somebody in some way, saying please and thank you. And that smile as you catch someone's eye when something funny happens to somebody else or somebody misbehaves. All life is there on a bus. And it's a great opportunity for practicing simple inner adjustments. Beaming love towards the difficult person is one of mine when I'm in a good mood, or deliberately sitting next to somebody that I wouldn't normally choose to be close to, noting small kindnesses shown to others, and trying to understand the strains experienced by a driver on those really very occasional times when they actually get grumpy with people and you hear it. It's remarkable to me that London bus drivers are so very calm and patient most of the time, though perhaps not in the same league as the bus driver I read about in Pakistan. As the bus slowed down at a crowded bus stop, apparently, the Pakistani bus conductor leaned from the platform and called out, "Six only!" The bus stopped, he counted on the six passengers, rang the bell, and then as the bus moved off, he called to those left behind, "So sorry, plenty of room in my heart, but the bus is full." Oh. He left behind a row of smiling faces. And then, you know, once we have gained something from the close proximity to drivers and to our fellow travellers, there's that delight, isn't there, of simply staring out of a window, passive recipients of all that we survey. You get to see a lot, especially from the top deck of a double-decker bus. And again, all life is there, but seen from a different angle. And on the bus, we can examine our very human preferences. We have our favourite views, we have our favourite routes, and we have favourite parts of a favourite bus route. And most of us have our favourite seats. Mine is definitely the front seat on the top deck, where as a child I would happily pretend to be driving the whole show, an illusion that friends regularly remind me I have continued on into adult life. Now, this theme of transport for all, it has its flaws. I know that there are plenty of people who would never dream of standing at a bus stop. Those who couldn't afford the fare, along with those who much prefer their own private vehicles or the sense of privilege that comes from a taxi ride. I know in other parts of the world, public transport can be a far more chaotic and potentially dangerous activity than it is here in London. I've had a few bus rides myself that will stay in my memory forevermore. 3 days travelling from Athens to London on a so-called magic bus. Where there was oft-times doubt that the proverbial wheels on the bus would continue to go round and round, and where there were 55 passengers for 54 seats. I look forward to hearing of some of your best and worst bus journeys over a cup of tea later. But let's end with those words again from Elizabeth Lesser. It's wonderful to take your place on the bus with all the other bozos. It may be the first step to enlightenment to understand with all of your brain cells that the other bus, that sleek bus with the cool people who know where they're going, that is also filled with bozos. Bozos in drag, bozos with a secret. When we see clearly that every single human being, regardless of fame or fortune, age or brains or beauty, shares the same ordinary foibles, a strange thing happens. We begin to cheer up, to loosen up, and we become as buoyant as those other people that we imagined on the other bus. As we rumble along the potholed road, lost as ever, through valleys and over hills, we find ourselves among friends, and then we can sit back and enjoy the ride. Amen. This is the journey. This is the journey we are on, the journey we share in thought and time, a journey of hoping and seeking, travelling together. Though we do not view the same horizon or trace a route that in every detail is the same as the rest, this journey we share has its highlights. It's time when the caravan pauses and we greet one another and gather together as we have this morning in the presence of the spirit that we cannot define. And then in faith we move on, out into the world once more, finding our way, taking our next steps. This is the journey we are on. May your path be clear and welcoming in these days ahead. Amen. Go well and blessed be.